Amen. Well, I want you to know that I wasn't offended by what Jamie said at the welcome, that you have a big treat tonight. He was just getting me back from what I'm going to say about him the next time I introduce him. You know, a chubby treat or something, you know. Something that falls short of where we want to go or something, you know. Okay, or Twinkies, yeah. So, anyway, guys, it's a pleasure to be here with you tonight. And I'm always appreciative of Pastor Jamie asking me to come and preach and share the word with you. And so what typically happens is before you share the word with others, the Lord shares it with you and beats you up a little bit. So I'm going to share the wealth tonight, okay? You remember from last week, Pastor Jamie preached, Pentecost has arrived. And Pentecost has come and the Spirit of God has come with great power and great glory, and tongues of fire rested above the people's heads. And they began speaking in tongues. And all the people thought they were crazy or weird, and actually some thought they were drunk because they were speaking in tongues. But the people from vast nations who spoke different languages knew something of the power of God was going on because they were hearing the gospel in their own language. That was the point of the tongues, that the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, would come to these people in a way that they could understand it. And so they were kind of freaked out. And so we pick up in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. The Bible says this, that then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we love you and our souls do cry out for you tonight. Lord, that we would hear from you, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, that because we've met with you, we would walk out these doors different from how we walked in. Lord, that you would do a work in us tonight that none could deny. And Lord, that you would make us more like Jesus tonight. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless your word, that you would help us to understand what you have said. And Lord, that you would give us the boldness to apply what you teach us tonight, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm not a big movie buff, Jamie is, but I think there's one movie that every male has to see to be considered a man, okay? And it's called Braveheart. Men, have you seen it? In fact, I've got a huge sword in my office that from the very first wedding I ever did, we had like a Braveheart club in college. And no, we weren't losers, all right? But we had like this Braveheart group of men, man, and we would love to get together and watch Braveheart. So I did the wedding for one of these guys in our little group, and instead of paying me money, which is always preferred, by the way, he gave me this huge Braveheart sword. And so now everybody that comes in my office is like, whoa, what is that? Like, just don't mess with me is all I'm saying, okay? But we love the movie Braveheart. And I remember from the movie Braveheart, there was this scene that always made me feel like such a wimp. And it was when William Wallace's, you know, Mel Gibson's characters, when William Wallace's friend Hamish, when his dad got shot with an arrow in battle. You remember that scene? They're having the battle and they're shooting him down from the fort. And the arrow goes through his chest. And he doesn't fall down. He just goes, oh, and then keeps on going. And then he goes and he opens up the gate to the fort and like lifts it up with an arrow going through his chest. And I'm sitting here thinking about myself. I would be crying in a corner. Leave me alone. I'm not lifting up a gate. I'm not pushing through so more people can come. No, leave me alone so I can die. Well, they have that scene and they end up winning the battle and everything goes over. Well, later that night, they've got to get the arrow out. And so this is back hundreds of years ago. And you see that they're getting Hamish's dad liquored up, right? And after a while, they get him liquored up enough to where they pull this stake out of the fire, hold him down, put the burning end of the stake to his chest, pull the arrow out, and then say, get back. And what does he do? He jumps up, and man, he's just swinging at whatever's there, screaming, just, ah! I was talking to a buddy of mine recently about a surgery that he's getting ready to have. And this particular buddy of mine, who I love, has never had surgery, and so you know what the definition of major surgery is, right? Minor surgery is when you're having surgery. Major surgery is when I'm having surgery. That's major surgery. So it's major surgery. And we were just talking about everything that goes along with it. And there was just, anytime anybody has surgery, there's this trepidation there. There's this fear of, what are they going to do to me? And what if everything goes wrong? Or what if something, what if they leave a pair of scissors in me? You know, I mean, all these questions, right? But I got to thinking about, you know, we never would have made it back in Braveheart's day. You know, we're worried about, well, will the anesthesia keep us out? You know, will the pain medicine kill enough of the pain? I mean, I'm the same way. When I had to have my hand operated on, I was scared to death, and they kept me awake and just like killed my arm. And all these beautiful nurses were in the operating room, and I'm trying to be tough, you know, and I'm like, and watching the scalpel get closer and closer to my hand. And I'm still trying to put on this facade of how tough I am, but they've got me hooked up to a heart monitor. And every time my heart beats, it beeps. And so the scalpel's getting closer and closer, and these beautiful nurses, I'm 17, by the way, these beautiful nurses all around, and I'm like, I'm okay, but you hear in the background, beep, 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 and I'm freaking out, right? And they weren't sticking a thing from the fire to my chest to rip an arrow out. I couldn't feel it. There are some great benefits to living today, amen? There are some great benefits of having modern medicine. There are some great benefits of having the technology that we have. We get to travel in cars and all those kind of things. But there was a difference back then. Well, as we talk about today's text, I want you to know that there was a difference back then. In Numbers chapter 11, Moses is with the people of Israel. And they're complaining. They're wandering out in the wilderness. And God has provided food for them. He's provided manna for them from heaven. And so every morning they get out of their tents and they go out. And there's like this frost over the ground. And they go out and they can pick it up. And it's good to eat. And God is sustaining his people. Well, after a while, they start complaining that it's not enough. Great, we got bread. Thanks, God. We want some meat. And so they go to Moses and they want meat. And where are we going to get meat? And we need some meat. So Moses gets fed up and he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, they want meat. And so Moses is just wore out with these people. And in Numbers chapter 11, it says this, that Moses heard the people of every family wailing. Because at the entrance of his tent, the Lord became exceedingly angry and Moses was troubled. Listen to what Moses said. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant, me? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised an oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing and say, give meat to us to eat. I cannot carry these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. And so God says to him, gather together 70 men. And here's what I'm going to do. Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. Listen, the Old Testament was a different time than the New Testament. The Old Testament was a different time than the New Testament. The Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit, he was there, he was moving, he was living, he was active. The Bible says at creation, the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God was what? Was hovering over the waters. And so the Spirit of God is there, but not like he is now. You see, there are only a few people in the Old Testament who the Bible says of them that they were filled with the Spirit or had the Spirit on them. King Saul was for a while. King David was, and when he had his incident with Bathsheba, he pleaded with God, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me." Several of the judges were, and a few others, but there were only a few people in the Old Testament who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And here Moses is saying to God, "God, why have you put this whole burden on me? I didn't conceive these people. I didn't give them birth. Why am I responsible for them?" And the reason was this, that when you are endowed with the Spirit of God, there is blessing that comes with it, but there's also responsibility that comes with it. And so Moses was carrying the weight of responsibility for these people everywhere they went. All their complaints, all their groanings, all their grumblings, all their unfaithfulness was all on Moses. Why? Because he was filled with the Spirit. And what God said was, "Okay, fine, I get it. Bring me 70 people and I'm going to dole it out for them too. I'm going to give them the Spirit so that they can help you bear the burden of these people." And so the people of Israel, they have it happen. These 70 people get endowed with the Spirit of God. And this is what Moses says. He says, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." It was as if Moses was Hamish's dad in Braveheart. And even then, Hamish's dad would never have been able to imagine a day where they would give you a shot and put you to sleep and then take the arrow out. No, all he knew was the brand going to his chest and ripping the thing out. But he was crying out for that day when God's Spirit would be on all of God's people. You fast forward about 1,000 years, you hear the prophet Joel make that promise. The prophet Joel, as he's speaking after a great locust plague over the people of Israel, and there's famine in the land. And the prophet Joel says, "And afterward I will pour out my Spirit on all people, says the Lord. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be a deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." What Joel is doing here is he is putting God's promise onto Moses' plea. Moses pled with the Lord that all of his people would be filled with the Spirit. And now, almost a millennium later, Joel is saying this, that day is coming. The day is coming when God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. That it will be a new and great day, that in the last days there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, such that all who believe on the name of the Lord will be filled with his Spirit. And we'll share part of the responsibility for making his name great to the ends of the earth. We'll share part of his responsibility for proclaiming the truth and the power of the living God. And Joel's saying, "This day is coming." And then we come to Peter in Acts chapter 2. And what's happened in Acts chapter 2? What Moses wished for, what Joel prophesied, has now come to pass. You see, God's promises are always true. God's promises never fail. God's promises, no matter how long it may take, and even though it may not be on our specific timeline, God's promises are always going to come through. And there's some of you in this room right now, and you are waiting on God's promise in your life. You are waiting on something that you have prayed for, and you believe that God has promised to you through his word, and you're waiting on that. Say, "How long am I going to have to wait?" I don't know. I don't know. But I can promise you this, that God's promises will always come to pass just as he said they would. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he should change his mind. God's promises are true no matter what. You say, "But it's getting pretty rough down here." It's getting pretty rough. I'm sick. I'm struggling. My family's struggling. My kids are losing their minds. Can't find a job. It's not what I thought it would be. But God's promise is always true. And His promise is that this world is not our home. And His promise is that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And in that place, there will be no tears shed, for He will wipe everyone away from our eyes. And in that place, there will be complete and utter joy all the day long. In that place, there will be no struggle, and there will be no hardship, and there will be no disease, and there will be no dysfunction. There will be nothing that is not completely healed, because He is there. And He said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and get you. I'll come back and get you. And the day is coming when Jesus will return to gather together those of us who belong to Him. The Bible says of that day that every knee will bow. The Bible says of that day that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That day is coming. That day is coming when, as Joel says, as Peter quotes, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will be turned to blackness and there will be blood and there will be smoke and there will be great pain. Jesus said that the day would come when there would be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. Brother lifting up hand against brother and all kinds of other signs. And He said about those days that these are the beginnings of the birth pangs. That these are the beginnings of the birth pangs, that the earth itself is crying out for the church to be revealed and for God to come and restore all things, to bring about a new heaven and a new earth. And so know for certain that the day is soon coming when Jesus will return and gather His people and we will stand before Him. That those of us who belong to Jesus, having been forgiven, having been made clean, having been made righteous, having been made holy, that we will stand before Him covered by His blood, and He'll look upon us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And then those who never turned to Jesus, they'll stand before Him confessing in that moment that He is Lord. But they'll make that confession on their way to eternal condemnation. I've told you the story before of Pastor Jamie going to speak at a local college. And they went to the BCM, Tommy, and as the BCM director was walking him around, they came to this mural. And there was this cross, and around the cross were all these people kneeling. And Jamie got to looking at the picture, and there was Hitler. And there was Stalin. And some of the most horrendous people from history that you could imagine. Kneeling at the cross. And as it would you and me, it kind of caught Jamie off guard. But it was a reminder that there is a day coming when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The good news is that today we can do it freely. And we can receive Jesus into our lives. We can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can receive eternal life and forgiveness of our sins. We can be adopted into the family of God and become children of God. That's today. On the day that that mural depicts, there will be no options. That there will be many who will confess Jesus as Lord for the first time. But they'll do so on their way to hell. As Christians, we shouldn't be excited about that. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit dwells on you, you have a responsibility. And part of our responsibility as people who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, is to go and proclaim His name and beg people to be saved. To beg people that they would come to Jesus. That they would run from the fires of hell and be embraced by the Lord of all. And that's where we are now. It was the day that Moses dreamed of. It was the day that Joel prophesied. It was the day that Peter heralded. And it's still today that the Spirit of God is moving and He has filled all of His people. And there is great responsibility there. that we would share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because as Peter says, in quoting Joel, that today, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, who can be saved? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Everyone who realizes that he or she is a sinner in need of God's grace and in need of a Savior. Everyone who looks to Jesus and repents of that sin and receives him as Lord and as Savior can be saved. At Hillview Heights Church, we have a target group. Here's our target group. If you have a pulse, we want you to be a part. That if you are breathing oxygen, we want you to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our target group. Many of you in this room came here and you were separated from Jesus, yeah? And you heard the gospel preached from Pastor Jamie or from Pastor Steve or from somebody else, Pastor Eric, somebody. And the Holy Spirit touched your life. And God saved you. Then there are some of you in this room who you've never done that before. You've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You've never called on His name. And you've never been saved. So why does it matter? Because there's a judge. And that judge's judgment will stand no matter what we think. That judge's judgment will stand no matter what we think. His standard has been given to us in His Word. And He has called all of us to come. Why does this matter? In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul, he says this. What does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And this, that is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. Listen, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This passage from Joel is quoted three times. Once by Joel, then by Peter, then by Paul. You think it matters? Yeah, it's crucial. It's crucial because today everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, well, what about tomorrow? I don't know. I just don't know. There are those who say they know when he's coming back. It's sometime in May of next year, or this year. This year, hey, it's coming, right? They're wrong, by the way. The Bible says no one knows. And so if you hear somebody say, it's on May 11th, you can pretty well be sure it's not going to be on May 11th. Because the Lord wouldn't give that guy glory for that. All right? But he's coming. And it may be in our lifetime. I don't know. It could be tonight. Could be tomorrow. Could be 1,000 years from now. I don't know. But he's coming. And for those who are in Christ, his coming is not a scary thing. For those who are in Christ, his coming is a blessed thing. The Bible ends with the words, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. Take us from this hellish existence we live in with all the troubles that we face and all the problems that we have and around the world, all the persecution that we face for following you. Come and take us to be with you. And that day is coming. But until then, those of us who have received Christ, we have a responsibility to share the gospel. Just like all the folks gathered together at Pentecost, that we would share the gospel in ways that people can understand it. For some of you, that means you will learn a different language. For others of you, that means God will supernaturally give you a different language in a moment. For some of you, that means you will go to the ends of the earth. And for others of you, that means you will go to the end of your street. And you'll proclaim this gospel. I once heard of a preacher who stood up at the end of his sermon and he had given the altar call. And he stood there and he gave the altar and said, "Hey, you need to receive Christ, you come." And then he said, "But that's all I'm going to say, because God's not a beggar and neither am I." Then he played "Just As I Am" and waited to see who would come. And I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying. But the reality is that for those of us who are filled with the Spirit, who are in Christ, we're to be beggars. Pleading with people that they would come and that they would give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pleading with people that they would turn from their sin and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. You say, why? Well, because there's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one way to step into eternal life. There's only one way to the Father, and His name is Jesus. And so tonight we're going to have an altar. And I'm going to pray that the Lord, for those of you who are in Christ, I pray that the Lord will sear in your mind and in your heart the name of some person who, before this week is over, you will have a conversation in which you get to share the gospel. You say, "Well, I don't know how to do all that. I'm not a preacher." Yes, you do. God made you. He loves you. But you've sinned and you're separated from Him and you're going to go to hell. But because of His great love for you, He sent His Son Jesus to pay your price, to take your punishment, to die your death. And He did on the cross. And on the third day, He arose from the grave, and He says that anyone who will come, anyone who will repent of sin and receive Me as Lord, they'll be saved. For others of you in this room, today may be your day. Today is your day to call on the name of the Lord and to be saved. To cry out to God for mercy. To cry out to God for His grace through the death of His Son. To cry out to God that your sin would be forgiven and that you would be made new and that you would be made whole and that you would be in Christ. The best news I have for you today is that Jesus will receive you today. He will take you today. Why? Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He'll take you today. He'll welcome you into His presence with loving arms. He'll welcome you home to Him. That's today. So what about tomorrow? I don't know. I don't know. But I know we have right now. So I don't know. You may already all have relationships with Christ, but if tonight you don't, if tonight you have never called on the name of the Lord, let tonight be the night that you would receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've called on Him, but you've never been baptized, and tonight you need to follow in obedience. Let tonight be the night. We live in an age that Moses wished for. This great hero of the faith wished for this age, and we live in it every day. Joel, a great prophet from the Old Testament, prophesied that this day would come, and we live in it every day. Let us not become callous to the reality of every day for us, but let us be reminded that we live in a remarkable time. We live in a remarkable time. And Jesus Christ will receive us today. And so we're going to have a time of altar. If you need to receive Christ, come. Please come. Please don't hold out. Please don't test it. Please don't see, "Well, let's see if tomorrow comes around." Please don't test it. No, call on the name of the Lord today. And for those of you who are following Jesus, I'm going to invite you to come. I'm going to invite you to come to this altar and let the Lord sear somebody's name in your mind and on your heart. Because you've been filled with the Spirit of God and you have a great responsibility. You have a burden to bear. Oh, church, that we would bear that burden. That we would bear that burden. That we would be as concerned about lost people as we are about whether our DVR worked tonight. That we would bear that burden that the Lord has given us through His Spirit. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. And Lord, I confess in my own life so many times I just take everything for granted. But that we live in a remarkable age when Your Spirit has been poured out. When everyone who calls on Your name can be saved. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that if there are any in this room who have never called on Your name, that tonight they would come to this altar. They would bow their knee before You. They would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and that they would do it willingly before they have to do it perfunctorily. Lord, that people would be saved. And Lord, for those of us who have received You, Lord, that You would sear our hearts with a name of someone who needs Your gospel, a name of someone who needs to be pleaded with that they might give their life to You, that You, Lord, would speak that to our hearts and that You would allow us to bear that burden, that we might finally share with them, finally tell them the way to life. And so, Lord, at this altar, we just ask You would do whatever You want to do. That we would obey. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar is open. Please come.